Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic.
This is Anissa.
And it's Ellen. And welcome to
Anissa and Ellen Raw.
I know. It seems like it's been forever since it's just been the two of us.
I actually tried to look on the calendar, and I think it's been
a couple weeks. A month?
A month, maybe three. I mean, yes, because then you were also gone on vacation, yeah, and your pseudo vacation.
I know.
Which actually that needs to play into what we're going to talk about today. But yeah, it's been a long time. I rarely feel disconnected to Ellen, and
there's a little disconnect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually text her today. I had this overwhelming feeling walking into work. All of a sudden I was like, oh, I love Ellen, right? So I text her, I love you. But normally that would be almost a state of being. And yeah, there's just a little disconnect.
Well, we love interviewing the ladies that have come, mm-hmm, in. It's been awesome. And I think a little part of it has to, and I think this is going to segue into what we're going to talk about today. But we'd mentioned in a previous podcast that Anissa now works full time at the same company that Brian and I work at. Mm-hmm. So prior to Anissa coming and working with me, she and I texted each other constantly throughout the day. And then we would chat in the mornings on the way, and we'd touch space with each other. And now since Anissa, it's almost a month that Anissa's been working at the office.
Yes, 30 days today.
That's right. And part of it is because she's trying to get up to speed with the job. And I don't know if it's just that part of it also is that I know that you're a couple of floors above me and I can go up there and see you at any time. But then we don't. Yeah, and it seems like we just don't text as much as we did.
Right.
And I hate that.
It's so interesting because, you know, there is an adjustment to, even though I was teaching all over the place and other things, you know, you fill your time when, mm-hmm, you're someone who is just naturally a doer.
Right.
So it's not like, even though I didn't have a 9-to-5, I still felt busy all the time, but it's very different than being in an office and having input, mm-hmm, and a commute, which I actually love the commute because I listen to my Brené Brown, right, now, while I drive, but it's still more than I'm used to, mm-hmm, in terms of just, I think, energy.
Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yeah, it is different. And so we aren't connecting as much anymore. And, you know, and the energy level, like this morning, I got up, went downstairs, did my meditation, put my head on the corner of the couch and fell right back asleep after that. And that, you know, and I had some opportunities to do some other things fitness-wise, teaching, and I today just had to decide, partially in listening to Brené Brown, no.
Yes.
I can't. And I've been grappling with this for really a month because my thought was, well, let me just get in there, get my feet wet, and then I can figure out when I want to teach, and I can do all of this, and I can do all of that, and I can keep doing all of the things. Mm-hmm. I can keep being the doer, the doer, the doer. And trying to figure out, why do I keep fucking doing that? Like, right, before it was always about the survival and the money, mm-hmm, right? Well, now I'm doing more than surviving. Mm-hmm. I'm really on the flip side and thriving.
You're thriving.
And I'm making more money than I've ever made. And, you know, going to be able to not have to fuss about whether, mm-hmm, or not I can meet my obligations. But there's still a nagging piece that is still actually because I still have a couple other yes, side hustles that, mm-hmm, I still have that I'm not willing to let go of. And my husband is like, Anissa, what is wrong with you? And I said, well, I can't.
Right.
He's like, why can't you let go of that? I'm like, well, it's only 5 hours a week.
Right.
He's like, but it's 5 hours a week that you could be doing nothing. So I've really been trying to dive into why I'm doing that. And I actually think this whole feeling like we have to be everything, do everything is something that we both really struggle with, Ellen, but in different ways and for different reasons.
It is true. So now that Anissa's working at the same place as I am, she kind of gets a glimpse into my world from 8 to 6. So before, you know, she was on the outside. It's just me telling her, I'm sorry, I can't text until this time, or I can't do this because I have to do this. Or so now she sort of has this glimpse into my day to day, and it's exhausting. First of all, we work in
And awesome. Like,
it
we
is
love
awesome.
It,
yeah, we love
sure.
it. If we didn't love it, if I didn't love it, I wouldn't still be there. But when you go from, or when you go into a place that where your company is over 1,300 people, and you are daily, it's not just about the work, it's about the stimulus, you know, this people constantly coming up, people constantly needing something, people talking to you on the phone, people emailing you, walking here, walking there, going up and down everywhere. So by the time you get home, you're exhausted. So I'm the same way. I used to, where I there has never been a time other than when I've moved from one city to another where I did not work full time an 8:30 to 5 job and teach class. So I used to teach class every morning, 5:30, get done at 6:30, jump in the shower, come to work, work full time, leave the office a little early, go teach at another club. Like Monday through Thursday, I always sort of tried to give myself Friday off. Monday through Thursday in the morning, Monday through Thursday, and then work, teach on Saturday and Sundays. And people used to think I was crazy. Why are you doing this to yourself? Well, because it was part of my jam. I loved it so much. But as my job has changed, and as I've aged, and because of my menopausal issues, I've had to cut back a lot on that. And if you are listening and you are members of our gym where we teach at, and several people have said something to me about this, including our studio manager, you've noticed a humongous drop off in my interaction on social media because I'm exhausted, and it takes a lot to, you know, I'm pretty good at fly by the seat of my pants, posting stuff about things that happen. But there also has to be some pre-planning, especially if you're asked to be an influencer and there are a lot of events going on and you, in your mind, you've got to, okay, how am I going to do this? But also because I'm trying to get back to being healthy and being on my phone and being on social media and being, it takes up so much time. And so at the end of the day, when I'm laying in bed at 9:30 and I'm stressing because I didn't post something that I filmed at the gym, and then I'm sitting there going,
like, who gives a shit?
Well,
like, do
exactly.
you ever say that? Like, I sometimes say, I'm like, you know,
I
what
have.
Who gives a shit?
Well, lately
I'm fucking
I have.
Tired
I know lately I have, but I used to stress me, and then I used
yes.
to I used to lay there and say, when am I ever gonna just have an
Be.
Hour to just not think about anything, not do anything, not plan for a class? I'm like, if I'm not at work and I'm not in traffic to go home or at the gym and I'm not on my phone to figure out what's going on and what I need to be doing, or on Spotify putting my playlist together and my choreography together, like, when do I fucking have time to just take a nap? Like, seriously.
Right.
Or even clean my house or any of that. And then sometimes I'm like, why the fuck do I even want to clean my house? Like, can I just sit in the chair and do absolutely nothing?
Nothing.
And so I've cut back on classes. So now I only teach literally, I went from 11 classes to 5 in the span of a year.
And I even think 5 is too much.
And when I was giving up those 11, those 6, I was stressing. Oh my gosh, I love these people. I love this class. They're going to be so disappointed. I'm disappointing them. And now I just think back and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think it really even that matters. You know, I mean, I think some people miss me, yes, but in the grand scheme of stuff, it's like, did it really change anything though? You know, because mm-hmm. I'm still at that point. And so Anissa and I were talking about earlier. So she, now she's working full time with me and, you know, she's also in my environment where we constantly have people coming up to us and, you know, the stimuli all day long via email and phone and, you know, people coming and eating things, so that by the time you get in your car to drive home, you're fucking exhausted, like exhausted.
Well, and it's, for me, it's not, I'm not always, sometimes I am physically exhausted, but other times it's just stimulus.
Yes.
It's just the stimuli exhaustion. And you just have to, it's almost like which I'm sure a lot of people out there, even though they don't work where we work, you can relate to this. You've got kids when you've got to go home, little bits. You've got all of the different things that pull on you. It's almost like a merry-go-round, right? And so, you know, you're trying to get back to your center. And in order for that to happen, the merry-go-round has to stop. And if you just keep going and going and going, you never find your center.
Well, and I think about, so, you know, a lot of times when I'm sitting around going, oh, Ellen, you're freaking complaining about crap. I think about my friends who have children that have to, they have to get up, get them ready for school. And I guess mainly my working mothers, they get up, get them ready for school, take them to school, work a full-time job, fight fucking Atlanta traffic to get to and from wherever it is they're coming from.
Back to daycare.
Go pick them up from school. Feed them, make sure homework is done, repack whatever it is that needs to be packed for the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, kids have to be in bed by what, 8:30 to get them. So they're, you know, they're rest. So I think about that and I think about, okay, so when do they get time to work out? When do they get time to even just sit down and talk to their husband about whatever? When do they even get time sometimes to even eat a full meal, you know, or to catch up on whatever it is that they need to catch up? And here I am complaining about, you know.
But I think though, I truly think that it is I mean, Brian just shared that story about the 5-year-olds with the lemonade. We as women learn from a very early age that we need to be all things to all people and that, you know, whether you're caring for your little bits or you're caring for your parents as they're aging or, you know, or you're even teaching 11 classes and having a full-time job and caring for your members. I mean, it's the same thing.
It is.
Right? You not wanting to give up those classes because of the people that you care so much about, even though you don't have children, Ellen, it's the same motivation.
I think so too. And we had talked earlier about being people pleasers. I mean, I'm an extreme people pleaser. I want everybody to be happy. I don't like it when I upset somebody. I don't like it if I get this weird vibe from somebody and I think I've done something. I've tried, well, as I've gotten older, it's bothered me less and less. However, you know, when my hormones are tapping out, it comes back with a vengeance. So I find myself at work saying, yes, yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. Now, lately, in the last maybe 6 or 7 months, I've had to be a little bit more practical about everything. And I don't know if practical is the right word, but say, you know a lot more. Now, if I absolutely can do something, I will. But there have been times where I've had to say no, and it kills me. Like, it just absolutely kills me to say. Because I want to be able to help them. I don't want them to have to go find somebody else to help them. A lot of times,
I want to say why. Like, well, I want to keep asking why and why and why and why and why until we get to why.
Yeah.
Why do we do this?
I don't know. And, you know, I think part of it is a controlling thing. I feel like if you
like
come to ask
to
me,
be the person to help.
Yes. And also if I have the information or I can do it, might as well just do it, even if it puts me back a little bit. you know, as opposed to saying, okay, no, I can't do it. But if you go to this person and you ask this person to do it, but if that person is available, do it here. Or no, I really don't know the answer to that, but let me look it up and help, see if I can help you. Like, it's, I don't know what it is. It's just this thing. And so, but yet it's like in my brain, I'm like, you know, I don't fucking have time to do that. So let me just say no. But then my mouth says,
yes,
sure. Let me.
So I want to ask you too, and then I'll share kind of some of the feedback I got at home, but like, when you're doing all of the things, does Chuck ever have anything to say to you about that? Like, is he ever like, hello, me over here, I would like you to say yes to sometimes.
Oh yeah. Well, he never says anything to me like that. I should say he very rarely does. Every now and then he'll ask, okay, let me backtrack a little bit. Chuck is probably the most even keeled person I've ever met. He never gets too upset or too angry or too, he's like that person that does, he's not moody at all. So he's very even keeled. So he's very go with the flow and hey, whatever, you know, however it works out, I'm good with it. He does come from, and I, you know, maybe his sister is listening to this or my sister-in-law. He does come from a family that's very non-confrontational, like none. So even if he had an issue, he probably wouldn't say anything to me about it, but he just wants me to be happy. Now I do know that I can always tell the times when he's feeling neglected. I can always tell the times when he, without him even saying anything, you know, it's just those little things like he's, you know, he'll wait at the door sometimes for me when I get home. He's eager to, you know, go out and do stuff, when I'm exhausted. Very rarely does he ever complain about anything or say anything about it, but he does think that he's glad I don't teach as many classes as I was. He didn't like the fact that I was driving all over Atlanta to go from one gym to another gym, because he knows how much time it takes, the toll, but B, it worries him that I'm in the car driving all over with crazy people driving all over with me. But, you know, if you ask him, unless he gives you any extraneous information, he'll say, I'm fine with her doing what she wants to do as long as she's happy. But there are times where our studio managers ask me to take on classes and I'm like, I can't because my poor husband is at home and I don't see him till 8 o'clock when I come in. So it's been nice to go home, you know, at a decent hour and sit and watch TV or catch up or do whatever.
And Rob was telling me, so unlike your husband, my husband is very good about, it's not like he likes confrontation. However, if he's feeling a way, I'm going to know about it. He's very, very, honesty is the most important thing to him. So for better, for worse, he's honest.
Chuck is honest. He just doesn't vocalize, right? He just doesn't vocalize a lot of stuff
So my tendency, because I am such a big introvert, is I recharge by being quiet and withdrawing. And so when I get tired or stressed or I'm full of worry or any of the bullshit that's my normal noises, I get very withdrawn. And
I do that too, though.
Oh God. So bad.
I quiet down. I
so bad. Like
very
I'm,
quiet.
It's bad.
And like, just, you know, just please don't, just give me a moment.
Yeah.
I say that a lot. Just give me a moment. Yeah. You know, and I'll talk to you when I'm ready.
And Rob was saying how, you know, when after I knew I was going to be starting working and I'm working and he's like, well, you're not going to still be doing that anymore, are you? You know, my extra other side hustles. And I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, So basically what you're saying is nothing's going to get better. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, nothing's going to get better. You're going to stay the same. You're going to be exhausted all the time. You're not going to talk to anybody. You're going to be walking around here like nobody can talk to you, or you're not even engaged. So nothing's going to change. You've spent this entire year changing your mindset to be able to get this mm-hmm. great job and all of these things, but you're not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And, he does say that I'm really good at listening though. So at least when he's saying these things, I may not have a response at that moment, but he knows that I'm going to take the next couple of days mm-hmm. after we've had a discussion, I'm going to mull it over and then I'll have a response for him.
Mm-hmm.
And my response was, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to look at what is it that makes me keep doing it. And I finally came up with, for me, that it's all fear.
Mm-hmm.
That I am still so afraid of letting go of the things that I think are holding it all together mm-hmm. and not trusting that I'm going to be okay. And part of my, you know, in listening to Brené and other things that I read, really kind of unpacking that fear and realizing that I need to start relying on, you know, whether you want to call it God or the universe or whatever it is for you, for me, it's God, that I need to start relying on the fact that there's abundance and mm-hmm. I am now participating in that. And I can let go mm-hmm. and I can be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rob was telling me, he said, Anissa, the people in your life love you
mm-hmm.
and are here for you. And if you keep doing what you're doing, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
You're not participating with the people who love you mm-hmm. and you are the one that is missing out. And he said, you know, sometimes he said, you know, I'm so loyal. Sometimes I feel like I'm a dog
mm-hmm.
and no matter what you do, I'm still there loving mm-hmm. you. He said, but please, even a dog eventually
mm-hmm.
will eventually walk away. Please don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to stop.
And I think, I mean, now that you say that, I mean, I believe it or not, I think about that with Chuck. I don't think about him walking away or anything like that, but I do think about the fact that he's so easygoing and that instead of just taking for granted that he's going to be okay with me running around like a crazy person and then coming home and, you know, just depending on what's going on, being sullen or being quiet or, you know, venting about crap at work that has nothing to do with him, that, you know, I think about it a lot, that I have to make sure that I prioritize his space in my life, which I, you know, you just sort of take for granted that he knows that he is, but you know, that's why there are a lot of times where I've said no lately. And at first it was hard, but now I'm kind of used to it,
yeah.
You know, I want people to be happy. I want to help people. I want, you know, so to say no means to me letting them down, which is really not the case. I mean, they're not sitting there going, oh my gosh, you know, I can't do this without Ellen. They're not doing that at all. And then, admittedly, if we're going to be raw and authentic, mm-hmm. I mean, there are times where I'm like, you know, I want to be that person that helps you. I don't want somebody else to come along and be that person.
And then you'll never ask me again.
Yeah. Or that person is going to, everybody's going to think that person when I, you know, I could have done it. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I do it with everything. I don't just do it at the gym or at work. I mean, I do it with my family as well. So we were talking about vacation. So I went on vacation last week ended up working a good deal of vacation. And normally when I go on vacation, I just try to keep up with email and stuff, because the amount of emails that I come, that come through, it's just easier that way. And I'm pretty good at like doing it first thing in the morning when I'm having coffee, when people aren't up, and then maybe last thing at night, if something comes through on my phone. If not, no big deal. And then I, over the years I've learned, you know, I put all the things that need immediate attention to a file folder, so that when I do get back on Monday, I can just kind of look. And sometimes on Sunday, I'll just fire it up. And if there's anything, well, last week I had to work a lot more, and there were moments where, well, you know, they were, my family was on the beach and I was in the condo because I had to get shit done. And, I came back from that, like at the, when you're in that moment and you're trying to put out fires and you're trying to get stuff done, you don't really think at that moment about the things that you're missing out, or like the memories that you're, you know, the moments that you, should be sharing with your family. That, you know, I went on vacation with my sister and my brother-in-law and my brother and two of our oldest friends. And I don't get to see these people very often. I do not get to see these people as much as I would like to. So, you know, but I'm going to come back to work on fucking Monday and all this shit is still going to be here. So it's not until after the fact that you look back and you're like, I mean, damn,
was it really necessary? Yeah,
was it worth it? And was it, and did the world fall apart? You know, what would it have fallen apart if you had not answered those 10 fucking emails? You know what I'm saying?
Well, because so, don't you find that once you start the 10, then before you know it, you look up, you're like, holy shit, yeah, it's been 2 hours. What, yeah, I thought would take 15. Oh, I'll just do this 15 minutes. I'll be right out. Mm-hmm. And do you also feel like, what does it say to the people that are there with you?
Right.
Like, how important are we? And maybe they don't say that.
Yeah. It sets a precedent for future things when, you know, oh, well, we'll just reach out and, you know, Ellen will take care of it or whatever. And that's true if it's a fire, but if it's something that can wait, and I just have to learn, I've gotten better. It used to be where I would constantly on my phone, but I was really proud of myself. Last week was my second vacation of the year. I took, right after my birthday. Mm-hmm. I was at the beach for my birthday. I was really good. I completely disconnected from work. There were a couple of things that came up, but it wasn't terrible. I don't know why, because now that I'm looking back, I don't know why I thought, I just think I let people on the other end influence me to think things are super urgent. And because, I mean, the jobs that you and I have, so Anissa and I are executive assistants at our company. And in order to be a really good EA, you kind of have to have that mothering, nurturing thing in you. You have to like to help people. You have to like to manage people and do stuff
anticipate
for people.
Anticipate their needs before they even, yes,
so
know
I think
they need it.
Part of that plays into, oh, well, let me take care of that for you. Let me. And I'm a very mothering, nurturing person. And that's why I think I'm a good fitness instructor. I think that's why Raw has been successful, because both of us are very empathetic and sympathetic and, you know, to other people's, or to the ladies and the folks that, you know, whose lives that we touch. But, you know, it tends to make me very controlling at the same time. You know, I'm like, okay, let me take care of that. You know, I'm the mother, I'm in charge. Let me take care of that. And that's kind of how it was last week when, I should have just let it be. I should have just let it be. I should not have let it influence me that way. And then I'm sitting in the condo and I'm looking, literally looking outside the sliding glass doors at my sister and my brother-in-law and my brother at the edge of the beach right down there. Cause we were like on the 7th floor. I can see them down there laughing, and then they're texting me, when are you coming out? Mm. I'm like, I'm just finishing this up.
And I heard something, and I don't remember who was saying it, but that the most valuable resource that we have, which obviously people will say time, but it's not just time. It's also attention. Mm-hmm. It's two things. It's what you give your time to. But, you know, you and I could be sitting here together and I could be scrolling my phone and just mm-hmm. giving you, That's not giving you the resource
no, and
of
I
my attention.
I try my very best not to do that, right. especially at work. I find myself doing it and I stop it because I can't stand that when somebody does
For sure.
it to me. And it's disrespectful. You know, this person, whatever it is, this person has come up to you to ask you something. Maybe it's just water cooler talk a little bit, but they came up specifically to talk to you. So I try my very best to not let it distract me. I'm not always successful, but I've been a lot better.
And then, you know, you just sometimes have to say, you know, oh gosh, yeah. You know, you get your little 2 minute where you give them your attention and then you tell yeah. them kindly with your boundaries, I got to get back to work. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. Or not even, I'm sorry. I've yeah. got to get back to work. It was so great to talk to you.
Right.
Because I don't think you should apologize for setting a boundary.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I find myself doing that. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I can't. Why am I sorry?
Right.
I shouldn't be sorry.
You have nothing to apologize
you know what?
For.
You say, I can't this time, but thank you for asking me. And please ask me another time because I'd really like to help.
Right.
It's just not a good time. And being able to take the I'm sorry out of it, I think is a really huge thing for... I don't know, owning your own value, valuing your own time and attention so that you're not resentful.
Right.
I don't want to say yes when I mean no,
yeah.
because then I'm just going to be fucking resentful yeah. about, I'm going to be angry at you because I said yes.
Right, exactly.
And
it's
that's
not your
stupid.
Fault. Yeah. Oh, I do that a lot.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. There are times where I'm just like, fuck. Yes. Okay.
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
And then I'm
like
going to bitch and complain.
I'm constantly just like have a bad attitude about it.
Right.
You had mentioned something you said just a second ago, and I'm going to backtrack a bit. One of the reasons why I have a lot of friends and acquaintances, but I can only count on like one hand, like close friends that mm-hmm. I would go hang out with. And you being one, a couple girls that work, and part of the reason is I'm so fucking tired all the time that anytime I'm asked to go out and do something, I literally cannot even fathom dressing up, putting on clothes and going out to dinner with friends or whatever. And I think and also because I don't get to spend so much time with Chuck, I want to make sure that I'm giving him, you know, time as well. So I think about that as, you know, work-related events and things like girls' night outs and stuff. I very rarely attend any of those things because I'm tired and I just want to be at home in my pajamas. But at the same time, I'm also a homebody. I'm not like one of those people that's constantly, you know, we have some of the girls in our RAW group are like constantly, you know, social butterflies, and yep. it just exhausts me.
And there used to be times where I would look at some of those photos and be like, oh man, I never get invited to anything. And then I do the exact same
yeah.
thing. I go, oh, thank God I don't get invited to anything because I'm like, I just want my book
yeah.
and, you know, snuggle up with my husband or just spend some one-on-one time with him.
Well, I do that whole,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm so tired. But don't stop inviting me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But you know what? Back in the day we were huge. Like we went out all the time. And I think also that has a lot to do with, I'm just old now.
Well, and I don't always want to,
and I'm saying that
I'm
laughingly.
Horrible about small talk. I don't like it. It makes me really uncomfortable. Not only does it make me really uncomfortable, but most of the time what people are talking about, I'm not interested in.
Well, I always joke.
I don't,
I always joke about, I don't do forced socialization. You know, don't force me to like socialize with people I don't really know. I always want to just sit with the people that I know. But I think being fitness instructors, because we do have to be in front of a lot of people that we don't know very well and have to be, you know, and have to be inclusive. It's helped a lot. So even at work, I know so many people at work, you know, constantly throughout the day. Hey, I haven't seen you, and hugs. And, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody. But I think it's just that whole fitness instructor thing where we're used to like talking to people we don't really know,
yep.
but we're also used to listening and gaining information about at least little bits of information about everybody so that we can connect. So that's why it's easy for me to remember if your daughter went to this school, or if you, your husband was going to get ready to go to do this, or if you were, because at the gym,
yeah, you're freaking amazing at that.
The gym, we're supposed to like be, you know, more, well, we're supposed to,
well, we're about connect, other people, yeah, and not about ourselves. About and ourselves. You don't, you know, you don't really, you know, even when you put on that instructor hat, you're not, it's different. Like it is almost being, I guess, like playing a role. You mm-hmm. don't, you know, if you had a shitty day, too bad, mic's on, yeah, here we go. You're there, yeah, to pump people up. So you just don't talk about yourself in the same way that,
no. And I think, I mean,
which is fine.
I know that that is that all of this that we've been talking about is one of the main reasons why it's very difficult for me to do self-care. Like very difficult. It's so crazy. Some of my friends are like, I don't get it. You know, you would love to go get your hair done. Like my hair is due to get done and I have mm-hmm. not even made an appointment. I've thought about it for 3 days and have not taken 2 seconds to get on the phone and make an appointment. And everybody's like, oh, but you know, getting a massage and getting your nails done and going shopping for yourself, that's so much fun. And to me,
freaking reading a book by yourself for 30 minutes
is like, when am I going to fit that in? Like literally, when am I going to fit that fucking in? Like in my day, when I'm at work, you
start
know,
saying no more.
I know. I mean, even, yep, even, I mean, you would think that it would be such an easy thing. You would think it would be like, oh my gosh, I've got this hour and I'm just going to go read, or I'm going to book this, that, and the other and get a massage. And I don't even think that way. Like, I'm like, okay, I got an extra hour. Let me jump on my computer, right, and look at these pictures that I took at the AMP Cycle Festival the other day and let me post them.
Or let me, like, yeah, seriously. Or let me see what I need to. And I, so here's the other part of that, I think, which I'm trying, really making a conscientious effort to do, is to all of the ways that we don't, that we want to say yes to everyone else mm-hmm. and please everyone else and all of these other things, start treating yourself as if you are someone that you care deeply, yes, about, because you care about all of these other people. Mm-hmm. Do for yourself what you would do for everyone else. Mm-hmm. I find that the more that I do that, and it doesn't have to be an indulgent thing. Mm-hmm. It might just be it's that I read a book thing for 15 yeah. minutes mm-hmm. or that I talk to myself nicely or whatever the case may be. I find that I am better with everyone around me because then I'm not resentful.
Right. And that's true. And I know that, like, I know that. So I'm going to make a concept. You and I've talked about this, make a conscious effort to do some of the things that I want to do for myself, as opposed to the things I feel obligated.
Yeah, girl, you sent me some calendar invites for some of those things so that we actually schedule them. So yes, this is funny. Normally we have y'all really got to sit and listen to Ellen and I just chatting, because sometimes we come with an agenda, and we did kind of have something that we wanted to talk about, but we have no resolution.
Well,
today we absolutely talked about where we are in the present moment. We are not doing this thing that we're hoping to be able to do. You literally caught a snapshot of, we are up to our eyeballs of being people pleasers and we don't know what the fuck to do about it. And,
you know, we sat here before we started. Yeah. What are we going to talk about? And then with Brian, what should we talk about? Brian told us the story about the kids and the lemonade, and we're just chit-chatting.
Which we'll tell that story right now, so that, and this will be a good way to end. Yeah. So we were talking about not being able to say no and, you know, all mm-hmm. the people pleasing thing. And Brian shared that he heard a story recently about 5-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And let's say there were a group of 5 5-year-old boys and 5 5-year-old girls. And they did an experiment and they gave them lemonade. Well, they put salt in the lemonade, I guess, instead of sugar. And so all of the children are drinking it and the boys take a sip and are like, ah, nah, this is horrible. We're not drinking it. But the girls kept drinking it and didn't say, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. You know, maybe not across the board, but the boys across the board were not having any mm-hmm. of it.
And the girls were like.
And already at 5, they mm-hmm. had learned not to be able to say.
What exactly, maybe what they.
Yuck.
Yeah. Or what they were really feeling.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Already silenced. yeah. in people pleasing.
And, you know, we talked about this with Lisa.
Yes.
Arendelle, where we were talking about how we are so easy. You know, me personally, I'm so easygoing. I'm so glow with the flow. Well, whatever, whatever. Then finally, when I'm like, want to say what I want to say, I don't feel like people are, I feel like people are dismissing it because they're like, oh, well, Ellen, she'd do whatever. She's the go with the flow. And so it makes me more aggressive in mm-hmm. trying to get what I need. And I think sometimes women can tend to be like that just because of, you know, I mean, I'm not, I don't think,
right.
you know, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen type stuff, but I think they're just more amenable to.
And I think I'm going to use the lemonade as an analogy. Every time that I, that before I say yes to something, I'm going to ask myself, are you drinking the fucking salty yeah. lemonade and not saying no?
Yes.
And I'm going to think about that. I'm actually going to envision a 5-year-old with that nastiness in her mouth and continuing to take sips of it instead of saying, I don't really like, I mean, you can yeah. still say, no, thank you. I don't care for this. I'm not saying that you have to be rude or forceful, right. but I'm going to think about those 5-year-old girls.
I am not drinking this fucking salty right. lemonade.
Right. And I'm going to think, are you doing that?
Yeah. So next time at work. All right. Feels good. We good?
I'm so much better.
I know.
It's so much better.
All right. You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms.
You can visit atlpn.com, AtlantaPodcastNetwork.com. And seriously, that's the easiest way to find us. Mm-hmm. And please hit subscribe because then you will automatically get notified. And it may have the ATL Podcast Network logo on it, but it will have underneath it that it's Anissa Ellen Raw right. Talk. So mm-hmm. that's the easiest way. But you can also find us on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and now on Spotify.
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show. We're on Instagram.
At Anissa Ellen Raw.
At Ellen Nickel.
At Anissa Amison.
At ATL Podcast Network. At Atlanta Podcast Network.
Yep. And our private Facebook group is Anissa and Ellen Real Authentic Women.
Women.
That's where the magic happens. Come and check it out there. And yeah, we will see you next time.
Yes. Love you.
Love you.